From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel, and it's time now for All Tech Considered. Say the words high-tech startup, and chances are you picture a world that's mostly white, male, and set in Silicon Valley. There's been a lot of talk this year about how to get more women entrepreneurs into the male-dominated world of tech, and today we take you to Nairobi, Kenya, a growing tech hub for the African continent that's also trying to rethink geek culture. NPR's Gregory Warner reports.
When a group of women computer programmers in Kenya needed a name for their ladies-only club, they took their inspiration from Japanese cult film.
So Akira is a Japanese word. It means energy and intelligence, and we are energetic and intelligent chicks.
Judith Uyghur is the president of Akira Chicks.
C-H-I-X.
A group like Akira Chicks would have been unthinkable even 5 years ago, but Kenya is making a big push toward IT, part of the country's plan for achieving middle-class status by the year 2030. The country's laid hundreds of miles of fiber optic cable. IBM and Google have come here to set up shop. The city even has plans for a $7 billion technology hub just outside the capital. But you need more than broadband and tech giants and even money to launch a local tech industry. You also need a culture of computer geeks. That's where Judith and her collective Akira Chicks comes in. They want to make sure that the girl geeks are encouraged as much as the guys.
You're the oddball. I mean, just because of your gender, already you're the oddball.
Because it turns out that in Kenya, just like in Silicon Valley, the problem with getting more women in tech is that there aren't more women in tech.
There are probably other women in tech who are alone, and, you know, they think they're the weird ones, but maybe if enough of us weird ones meet together, you know, it wouldn't be so weird anymore.
Susan Aguya is also an Akira chick. She grew up on a farm in western Kenya without a computer, but she had an uncle who worked in Nairobi, and when he came home for the holidays, he would haul his entire workstation in the car back with him. The monitor, the CPU, the keyboard, and set it all up again in Susan's living room.
So he would bring it over, we use it, and then he would go back with it.
So what did you do in the times when you didn't have a computer?
So in the times I didn't have a computer, there were books that he left. Books about what is a computer, parts of a computer, what is a ROM, what is a RAM, just really basics.
When she got to university, she majored in information technology. One of the striking things about Kenya is that even impoverished farmers have cell phones. So Susan had this idea for a mobile phone app that would help farmers like her parents. The app would allow them to check the prices of crops with text messaging, skipping the middleman.
Yeah, corrupt middlemen. Let's say skipping the corrupt middlemen.
But Susan was one of only 10 women in her department of 80. It's about the same ratio you'd find in a computer science class at Stanford. Susan's teachers doubted her ability to actually program this app she'd thought up.
In my culture, it's like men can only communicate with men. And I was like, okay, then if I could share this passion, like try and explain to the person this is what I want to do, it's only a woman who could understand me better.
It wasn't until her third year she met a computer researcher at the same university. Jessica Colasso says she bumped into Susan in the hallway.
I remember when I met her in the corridor, Susan was really shy. She was like, excuse me, are you Jessica Colasso?
So she invited me and was like, come meet other women who are also who also have a passion like you, but they want to relate out to other women who don't know that this exists.
Susan started spending some Saturday mornings with Jessica and other women, snipping code, poring through hacker cookbooks, informal gatherings that became the Akira Chicks, while Susan graduated and turned her mobile phone idea into a company called M-Farm. At 25 years old, she now has 18 people working for her and 7,000 African farmers using her app. Just one floor up from Susan's office, you find a kind of oasis of geekdom. A gathering space for Nairobi's tech community called the iHub. It feels like any sort of hackerspace you'd find in San Francisco or New York City. It's got comfy couches, fast Wi-Fi, and cappuccinos served by a barista named Miss Rose. But the techies you meet here are not trying to come up with the next Facebook or another app to share your photos. They're solving local problems, like there's an app that brings math and reading prep to remote village schools by cell phone. There's an app that lets Kenyans who don't have computers do their online shopping, again, by cell phone. There's another app that's a kind of micro-insurance that measures the rain falling at cell phone towers and then automatically distributes money to farmers when there's a drought. All applications aimed at the developing world started by women. Judith the Uyghur says they're sending a message to the next wave of girl geeks.
We need them to see that we are doing it and we enjoy it. You know, you don't find many African women looking for the spotlight. Most people tend to hide their awesomeness.
So the best time to carve a spot for women in geek culture, she says, is when there isn't much of a geek culture yet. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Nairobi.